I thought that maybe I was moving into my pink phase, but it turns out that I am moving into my light brown seashell tan phase, possibly my somewhat sepia mocha flavored coffee phase. That's the color we're working on. And the great Audrey Hepburn, the elegant, the classy Audrey Hepburn, is here in the bunker to help us through this time. I am wanting to move on. You can tell. Hi, everybody. Martin Zender here. I'm feeling better, a little more sociable. This is what I figured out. I decided that even when I'm in the world, I can be as though I'm not of the world. Big surprise, that's a scriptural verse. So in other words, I went for a walk yesterday. I went for a long 6-mile walk in the city. Had to force myself to go. I do it for fitness purposes. I always wear my shades like this. And I do that because I can feel detached. I'm not sociable when I'm out. I don't want to talk. I want to exercise, get from point A to point B and back. So I wear these sunglasses and it's very helpful. So I'm learning to really tap into the God consciousness. And I recommend this to you as well, because the God consciousness will let us be in the world and not of the world. And yet, still those times come that just overflow you and you can't help it. So you do what you can. Folks, I don't know what this little red glow is on the Zender cam. It might be a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Just kidding, because the manifestation moves whenever I move my camera here in the bunker. Don't know what it is. Hope it's not too distracting. Now that I've pointed it out to you, you're going to be able to see nothing but that. I do want to talk about the eons, and I want to also talk about the two titles of God. Well, actually, God has a name and a title. This is important to the book of Revelation. Going to whet your appetite here, and I am moving on. I'm not going to linger here because I want to get started on chapter 1, verse 1. But again, foundational teaching concerning the eons and concerning two titles of God that you need to know. Well, a name and a title. That is the title of God, Elohim. The name of God, Elohim, the title of God, Jehovah, or Yahweh. Elohim and Yahweh, the God of time and space. You need to know these two appellations of our deity for you to understand what's happening in the book of Revelation, why it's happening, and why it's not the end. Ah, why it's not the end. That brings us to a study of the eons, because Revelation is not the end. You need to know this. Revelation is not the end. It's a way station toward what is known as the consummation. This alone is going to help you keep your feet under you in the book of Revelation, because many times we've been told that the end is near. What would be the signs of the end? But the disciples did not ask Jesus that. They said, what will be the signs of your presence at the consummation of the eon, at the end of this eon? They knew that the current time period we're living in is called an eon, and they all looked forward to the coming eon. Jesus spoke of it in Luke 20:35. Don't quote me on that, but he talks about marriage, and he says those who are worthy to be married in that eon. He talked about this eon and that eon, the sons of this eon, he said, marry and are taken in marriage. Yet those worthy to happen upon that eon and the resurrection from the dead are neither married nor given in marriage. So this eon, that eon, this is a big revelation for many people. And this week, maybe only part of this week, I'm going to point out to you that we are currently living in one of five eons. Going to break these down for you. Going to do it now. In Genesis 1:1, again, this is important because I want you to see where you are on the map. I want you to see that you are perched on the cusp of the next eon. And again, as I've said, not only the next eon, but the beginning of the good eons. Eons 4 and 5, the eons of the eons, they're known as in the scripture. And I want you to take comfort in that you're well-placed in history. You're placed one of the most exciting places in history. And plus, you will see that this blip on God's aeonian timetable, namely the day of indignation. Even the thousand-year kingdom is just God getting warmed up for what he's really planning on doing, which is Eon 5, the new heavens and the new earth, when the kingdom, the priesthood of Israel will be finished at that point. And then God's going to get to what he really wants to do, which is the consummation of the eons. And at the end of these time periods, he's going to reconcile all things to him, whether those things in the heaven or those things on the earth, including Satan himself. So we're looking down through the telescope of time, way past not only your measly, miserable life, we're looking way past the 3.5 years of hell on earth, whoop-de-doo, known as the Day of Indignation. We're looking past even the 1,000 years where Israel, God will finally fulfill his promises to Israel on the earth. And we're looking past that even into this possibly 10,000-year period called the New Heavens and the New Earth, when Israel retires as priests and they function as kings, and God himself dwells on the earth with humanity, and there's no temple, there's no more intermediaries between God and humanity. And this is what Israel functions as during the 1,000 years, intermediaries. In the fifth eon, no more intermediary, no more mediation, and there's no more death. People don't die anymore. They do die in the 1,000 years. They're dying like crazy in the Day of Indignation. So you see, we're now reaching the pinnacle of, we're now reaching the turning point of the eons. Things are going to get worse before they get better, but the worst is quick. And we've been talking about that quickly. Genesis or Revelation 1:1, quickly, Revelation 22:30, whatever, 20. So, then it gets better. I used to think the 1,000 years was heaven. I used to think that this kingdom God was going to bring to earth with Israel was heaven on earth. Well, Jesus did say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." By the way, that is not the Lord's Prayer. Please! That's not the Lord's Prayer. It's the disciples' prayer. That's the prayer Jesus gave to his disciples. And Jesus gave this prayer to his disciples, and they were to pray this. It wasn't his prayer. He doesn't need to say those words. Ruchinia and I stepped into a Catholic church a couple days ago, last Sunday. We were walking through the city, and we heard organ music. And she said, "Do you want to step into the Catholic church?" I said, "Why not?" Hadn't been to one in a while. We stepped in there, and folks, I could not believe it. I was appalled. I shuddered. I went in there, and I saw people by rote reading the Lord's Prayer. I didn't even know it was the Lord's Prayer because it was in Portuguese. I thought they were speaking in tongues. No, it was Portuguese. And I could not, and I said, "What's that?" And she said, "They're saying the Lord's Prayer." And I said, "That's not the Lord's Prayer. It's the prayer he gave to the disciples." But anyway, these folks in there were just reciting. I mean, you know how the Catholic Church is. "Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy. Christ have mercy, Christ have mercy." It's repetitive. They're signing the cross over and over on themselves. I thought some of them would break their nose. They were signing so often, superstitious, kneeling, praying, and the world is in darkness. But my point was that the part of the prayer that Jesus gave to his disciples to pray was, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And his will is going to be done on earth in that a kingdom is coming to this earth. However, that kingdom is not coming to stay, it's coming to pass. That's right, even the kingdom is coming to pass. So not only is the Day of Indignation coming to pass, that's going to fly by, but the 1,000 years is coming to pass. This is not all Jesus had to say. Sure, he wanted them to pray that his kingdom would come on earth. On earth, listen to this, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." What did he mean, as it is in heaven? Well, in heaven, Jesus rules. Designated to rule by his Father. So that situation, that blessed situation, is going to also obtain on the earth during the 1,000 years. But not only is he going to rule again as a king, he's going to rule as a priest. Not so in eon number 5. That's right. 5 eons. How simple is this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm going to tell you how you can explain to your friends the eon using the human hand, because the human hand is conveniently designed to demonstrate the 5 eons. And starting tomorrow, I'm going to go in detail on these. But for now, wanted to give you the big picture that God has a calendar with 5 squares on it. We have 31 squares every month. God has only 5 squares for the entire Aeonian times. Aeonian is an adjective. Don't let it bother you. It's the adjective form of eon. What pertains to an eon, that is a period of time, is Aeonian. Just as what pertains to a day is daily. What pertains to a month is monthly. What pertains to a year is yearly. What pertains to an eon is Aeonian. And so we're dealing here, including the days of indignation and the book of Revelation and the kingdom, we're dealing with time periods. That's why the book of Revelation and the events described in that book are not the end of what God is doing, either on this planet or on the next planet, that is the new earth. God has a big plan. He's moving through it. He's not going to camp and settle down until he has reconciled everything in the heavens and on the earth to himself.